Oh my gosh, here we go. All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Artist Blueprint. We have a great show for, this evening. We're going to be talking about the possibility of all this going away, of not having any technology. So we're interested in your views on this. So if you're out there, please let us know. And we'd love to hear from you. And let us know what you think. And we will be right back after a word from our opening. All right. Well, how would your life be if you woke up tomorrow and had no technology? Now, we're not talking about social media. We're not talking about Netflix, and we're not talking about all those things. We're talking about technology, like no technology at all, like Amish living. Like, how would it affect your life?
You know? See, now that
I have some things I documented here just to kind of go over this. So that's the conversation.
That makes a difference, because I was going to ask, since we really don't chat about this stuff until we actually start doing it, I was going to ask, is it the broad definition of technology as far as just as a thing? Because you can go all the way back to the Egyptians, and they actually use technology to lift these things and all that. That's a form of technology, right?
It is. You're right. So, yeah, I guess we should maybe get some parameters in place that we can kind of like go by. So obviously the wheel technically is a form of technology, right? The wheel, you know, so we're not going that far back.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to start at the digital age. We can go back though. Remember, we don't necessarily have to go back. You know, we can go back to the industrial age, the beginning of the industrial age, right? You know, now that was a period 100 years ago.
Right.
You know, boy, technology was a lot of innovations happened 100 years ago.
True.
To get a lot of products out. You know, the country was growing. There was a lot of self-interest people that came in and decided to do certain things, which this show is not about that.
Listen to my show for that.
Right. Yeah. Come enjoy the show. He'll go into that. So let's do digital stuff, you know. So let's even go back and let's even talk electricity. Let's go even that further there, because now we're looking at over 100 years.
I was going to say, you have the young people who, like the really young people listen to the show, go like, you mean no Netflix?
Right. Where would I plug in my iPhone 27? It's got a new feature that it actually can make me transport into another place if I don't get tired of my place that I'm in right now, because I don't like to be anywhere. Every time I'm somewhere and I'm not getting, I want to go. That's the young people today. They can't be anywhere. It's
like, that's true. That's true.
Everything upsets them. And that's just a generalization on my part, but so what?
But before we get into that, let's talk about
our sponsor.
And you're going to talk about your show too.
Yeah, I was going to do that later, but yeah, we can do that.
Whatever.
Let's do the sponsor, and then I'll talk quickly about my show, and then we'll get started with this show.
Sounds good to me. All right. Well, the Artist Blueprint is brought to you by Wellness Resources, a family-owned and operated nutritional supplement company providing the highest quality clinically formulated supplements since 1985. Find out why they are amazing supplements. I use them every single day, and they make me feel fantastic. They make me look younger, by the way, just so you know. And so check them out at myvitaminresource.com. Myvitaminresource.com is where you can find them. And of course, don't forget the two things for tremendous savings. Number one, if you enter the Artist Blueprint at checkout, you will get free shipping on your order. Number two, you can check out their monthly specials. Don't forget that this month, April, is the the leptin, I was waiting for that, leptin weight management, 25% off their leptin weight management supplements. All right. So their Lepti Slims and all their fantastic weight management supplements. And again, great, great stuff. So 25% off that plus the free shipping, tremendous savings. So yeah. It's wellness resources supplements at myvitaminresource.com.
Yeah, years ago I heard about this and I misunderstood and I was on the Lipton weight management. It did not work at all. Sodium was super high. My blood pressure, I got so sick. Anyway, so George mentioned earlier, I am doing, I thought about it. For a while, I was doing a show in the mornings when I was back in New Jersey. I'm in Nashville now for those tuning in for the first time. And during that, I called it 7 a.m. because the show was at 7 a.m. This is the brilliance that you have here.
Genius!
Ladies and gentlemen. Wow. But I called it 7 a.m. and I would do it. And I did about 130 something episodes of that. And it was great. And it was fun. And some of it was about films. Mostly was films. I talked a little bit about music. I wasn't doing as much music as I am now back then. So mainly it was just film. But I really enjoyed it. And when I moved here, I was doing the show with George. All right, you know, so we moved the show and I started doing the show here. Then I didn't go back to doing the 7 a.m. thing because I was doing this show, you know. But what were you saying? Or what were you going to say?
No. I was going to say that I actually enjoyed your show at 7 a.m. because I was up at 7 a.m. I'm actually up usually like at 6 a.m. But anyway, and my wife would always ask me, why is John's big face in our living room every morning? And
that's got to be a frightening way to wake up.
It's 7 a.m. But yes, it was a very good show.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm going to be doing something in that realm again. It's this is even a more brilliant name.
Hey,
the show.
Next thing you're going to tell me that somebody actually suggested that name.
Yeah, right. I got it off of a ChatGPT. AI is amazing. They say you should call it JHS the show, stupid. I don't know why they have to add stupid. But the opening is going to be with one of our old songs from a glass. Play the whole thing, that's going to be what we're going to be doing. And I'm going to be covering probably more film stuff because I've been doing a lot of that. Some social media stuff, you know. All the stuff that we're talking about today that we're going to do without, I'm going to be talking about it on that show. I don't know the date just yet because I'm waiting for a few of my other gigs to finish. So I know what time I'm going to have. And then I'm going to just punch in a day, just like George and I are Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the last almost 3 years now, or maybe even more than 3 years, I think. Yeah. We've been so consistent on that every Tuesday night. We might move that, but listen, the point I'm making
the point.
Is we've been consistent. And as soon as I plug in my show, it'll be consistent and I'll let everybody know. So anyway, I hope you can tune in for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's going to be also outside. I'm going to be shooting things on the outside and editing. So I don't know if I'm going to be doing live. If I do live, I'll have clips from things I recorded outside. So we'll figure it out.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
That's quite an announcement, let me tell you.
And that is one of our old shows. It feels like that was like 5 seasons ago. All right. So George and I are constantly challenged with technology's frustrations. And the main frustration that George and I run into, and some of you out there might, please chime in. Let us know your thoughts on this. But some of the frustration that we run into is the fact that we've been censored on some things unfairly because it's just an opinion, you know. So opinions now are being censored, which is a really dangerous thing to do. You know, they did that in other countries where a man was running the show. I don't know if you guys remember this guy, but he was doing that. You know, he was censoring papers and he took everyone's guns and banned the gun. You know, he did a lot of things. And this is where it gets a little frightening. So we're trying to like have conversations, and then we get, you know, George is like a criminal on social media. He's like being chased.
Actually at an undisclosed location right now.
Yeah. He's like the Billy the Kid of social media. He's like a warrant wanted. He's in all post offices. But so that's become part of the challenge. And then one day we started talking about it, and we were like, I wonder what would we lose if it all went away? And for me personally, I think about this sometimes, and I say, if I decide, and I might someday decide that I don't want to do anything else on social media technology, and I won't be the dramatic person as, you know, I'm quitting, so I won't even make an announcement. You just won't see me. I'll just be gone. And if anybody cares and they ask, I'll let them know where I'm at. But just completely leave social media. We already don't have cable television. I don't have cable television in my house. I love watching movies though. So I do stream movies, and I do have different platforms that I can do that on. But like George, what would be the biggest loss for you if technology was completely, now we're talking two different things. Now we were talking about social media and the video stuff like that, but let's just talk all of it. Electricity.
Wow. So basically, yes, like you said, living like the Amish, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would be the biggest loss for me. You know, I could honestly say that, I mean, the only thing that I do now that I would miss would be the shows.
Yeah.
If we look at it from a very bare bones perspective, you know, if I wanted to do a show, I would have to literally like go to rent a room or some kind of stage or something.
Get a room or some kind of
event place and do my spiel there, do lectures, which is actually a great idea. If you think about it,
yeah.
I do lectures and I do a once a week lecture.
Yeah, that's the way it was.
About health and wellness and all this type of stuff.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? And I mean, granted, it would be a small number of people compared to the people that hear my show now. Yeah. But still, I mean, if I'm helping those folks, even though they're local people, so what? I mean, yeah. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that would be the thing for me too. I would miss this part of it, especially you and I kind of interacting on
exactly.
This. That would suck, because then we wouldn't even be able to chat like this. It'd be like, you know, if we have no phones,
yeah, you know, I have to mail some stuff to you,
right? We'd have to write letters, how would that go, you know, that type of thing. So I have a couple of things I have that I'm going to go over on things that you would really lose. And the first one is exactly what we were just talking about, communication. Mm-hmm. You'd lose the ability to communicate instantly with people across the globe. No more emails, texts, or video calls. So that would suck, because I've made friends on social media that I've never met in person, but I consider them like close friends. Mm-hmm. Like I've known them for well over a decade. Just via social media. I've never actually met them in person. I have people that follow what I do and what we do from across the globe. I have some people in Russia. I have people in South Africa. I have people in Canada. We have a lot of artists that from Canada that we've interviewed on a show with PR companies from Canada. So we have a lot of different connections to the world. So that would all go away. We literally would be just a local person, which, you know, if you look at it like in the old days before all this technology, that's kind of the way it was.
That's how they did it.
It was, you know, the farmer, butcher, what are the people that put the horseshoes on the horses? What are those people called? There's a name for those people.
I forgot. I don't remember the name.
Horse people. They'd be the horse people. you know, and that'd be it, you know, and so your influence, you know, you can maybe go into preaching, you know, if, you know, I'm a spiritual person. I would probably have gone into a preaching and become a minister. And that would be my, you know, my thing, you know, just standing up there on the pulpit and every Sunday, just give a speech and talk about positivity and motivate people that way. You know, you could also go into politics. Sorry. But if you're talking about a small town, you know, back in the day, you know, local politics, and I've been involved in local politics when I was in New Jersey, I was a committee member. Voted committee member. It's different because when it's local, you know, if somebody's saying, well, we're going to fix that bridge or we're going to fix that road, well, the road gets fixed because it's locally and you can actually follow up. And the mayor, you're going to see the mayor walking around town. You know, it's a small town. You know what I mean? So you'll see him at ShopRite, you know, buying food and stuff like that. And it's that kind of a, so that will come back again. Right. You know, where there'll be more responsibility and you'll have meetings at the center square where the mayor will stand up and give and talk about where the, you know, that's the way it was, you know, that's how, and then politicians that are running for like bigger offices would come through town on train or horse and wagon and stuff like that, you know? Right. So, but communication would definitely be one that would be lessened because for all that we talk about the social media and how much we dislike what they're doing, the communication aspect of it is incredible.
Yes, agreed. I mean, if we're looking at social media specifically as a technology,
email, text,
that stuff. But again, John, you and I grew up in a time where we didn't have any of that.
I know.
And we had to learn how to communicate. Right.
I had to. Well, you called on the phone.
I called you. You called me. Yeah, my mom yelled at me if we were on too long.
That's right.
You know, that type of stuff. Yeah. But, you know, and you're right. You would on the good side of it, you would lose the communication. OK, for me, I'm just thinking both ways. On the other side of it, you would actually gain communication because the newer generations would learn how to communicate effectively.
Yeah, they'll be able to look at somebody in the eye.
They'll actually look at somebody in the eye, confront them, and actually talk to them and have a conversation instead of how people now don't even have a voicemail set up because everything is texted to them. So, I mean, just calling them is a problem.
Right.
Right, you know? So there's the pros and cons in that way as well. The generation would have to learn how to talk.
And not only that, but they'd have to learn how to do stuff.
Correct.
Because a lot of jobs, you know, I'll go into my job, you know, right now that I'm working as a media and technology person for a company. Well, 99% of it is all via technology, you know, via Zoom calls and emails and webinars and stuff like that and editing videos. You know, that's all it is, you know. And so there's a lot of people getting out of college that have never really even been in an office situation where they've had to confront other humans. They get out of college and go right into a remote position.
Correct.
So if you can imagine, not being around people will really lessen your ability to communicate effectively and also to be able to do things. Can you cook? Can you grow food if you needed to? Can you, you know, iron a shirt? You know, can you knit? All these things that we take for granted, you know, like my grandmother did all those things.
That's right.
And she taught me how to do all those things too. You know what I mean? She taught me how to iron. She taught me how to cook. She taught me how to sew a button, you know what I mean? And all that stuff. And that stuff for me is, I didn't think it was valuable at the time, you know, but now who can do that? You know? So if technology just went away instantly, they're going to be people that are in trouble.
Right.
They are in deep trouble because there's going to be a huge, I mean, look what happened during the last couple of years.
Yeah, no, you're right. Especially the younger folks.
Depression,
right?
Up through the roof.
Yeah, especially the younger. Think about if all, forget about just social media, computers, all that stuff. Just take that and get rid of that, right, tomorrow. How much how many people would literally go into depression? How many people would kill themselves? Suicides would go up.
Suicide, yeah. Well, right? It happened during the last couple of years,
right?
Too.
I mean, but it shows you the power of technology and the power of technology over people, especially the younger folks these days. Again, I could live without it because I have lived without it.
Right.
You know,
yeah, I would cry.
You know,
I like my guitar, so I want to keep my guitar.
Of course, of course.
And that's really, that'd be fine. That's how we did it.
Yes.
That's correct. How we did it.
Correct.
And how we booked gigs had nothing to do with having an EPK.
Right.
Which, by the way, stands for Electronic Press Kit. And we would have an EPK, but it was different. It was a flyer.
Yeah.
That had some photos and a little bio on it. And then we would go around and you have to bring it to the club. Yeah. And hope the club likes you.
That's right.
Then we did, we're obviously not ancient, so we were around at the beginning of email. So there was email, and we did have MySpace, I guess, you know, for a little while. But at the end, you know, really when you think about it, you know, the art part of it, you know, got infused with this social, which had nothing to do with it.
Right.
You know, now people are looking at it as it's part of your art. No, it's part of your marketing tools.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of that, you know, but it's not the thing.
Right.
You know, and now with AI and making people look different and putting people in situations where we know that doesn't really exist. And it's giving people a false sense of pride in something. Everyone is a celebrity in their little boxes, you know, everyone posts something and, you know, I like the communication part of it. So I engage a lot with people on social media, you know, and I'm not knocking that part of it, but psychologically you have to be aware enough to know that this box is not really me. It's just another form of communicating, but really this is where it's at. This is where, when you meet someone in real life, you know, and you're able to look at them and you're able to communicate effectively, you know, that really is what's getting lost the most, especially with, you know, with the younger generation.
Because like,
my kids don't know a world without a cell phone. Neither does yours.
My kid, too. You know? Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's like they don't know what that can't even think about it.
Right.
Like the Wi-Fi goes down here. My kids are, what happened to the... You know, I can't get, you know, I'm like, well, I don't know. The Wi-Fi probably went down. Go look. It's down. Okay, we got to reset it, you know, and it's like chaos, you know, and they're better, you know, because we do keep them, you know, on a leash, basically. But
you control it, basically.
We control it. We also do a lot of talking. We communicate to them a lot. We go out a lot. You know, we make sure that not a lot, not as much as I want to, but. We do stuff together, you know, and I think that's another factor of it, you know, where people are using the technology sometimes as a form of babysitting.
And control, and we'll get into it, but control is a huge aspect for me of technology, or as far as just the whole conversation, but we can get into that. But you want to keep going through those?
No, go ahead, because I think, what were you going to say about that? Because that's interesting.
No, just to me in general, when we talk about technology, because, you know, I was kind of thinking about it and, you know, we've chatted a little bit about it before, but, you know, I think I love technology in general. Again, we can go back to emails. We can go back to all, you know, all the technology, even just the computers, right? Because you think about the cell phone was actually invented in 1973, right? That's when the first cell phone, actually the big one, came out, right? And we've got later on the emails and the internet in like 95 and all this. Social media was in the 2000s, all this, that type of stuff. So you know, you can kind of trace it back. But my thing is, when we look at technology, my fear of technology, and again, I love technology, but my fear is when it's not controlled. And this is where we're starting to look at AI, right? Because now AI is the big question mark now, right? So we've always had technology, you know, you have two aspects of technology. You have the technology that's able to help with productivity, right? So, you know, let's look at Industrial Revolution. Moving forward from that, that technology helped to improve productivity as a whole, right? All these different jobs and stuff like that, that type of thing, and all the way through the computers, right? Now, but at the same time, it also got rid of jobs, right? Because
that's always going to happen. Yeah.
You're right. That is always going to happen. There's always going to be a certain amount of jobs that get eliminated because of technology. Yeah. The only thing I would say is that now it's happening at a pace that is unrecognizable versus
right, because of AI,
because of just the technology of today.
Also just not needed.
Yeah. You know? But think about it. My daughter works part-time in a supermarket. Okay. And that supermarket just a year ago had like 10 cashiers. Now it's got 5 cashiers and the other part of it is all self-checkout.
Right.
In a matter of a year. Right. So now you just eliminated pretty much like 5 jobs. You could say 4 because maybe there's one person that has to monitor that, the self-checkout. Okay. Right. But those are jobs right there that are no longer needed. Because of just technology, because you have self-checkout, which makes things quicker. I get that part, you know, but you're eliminating that also.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about the horses earlier, the, you know, people who raise horses and sell horses. And, you know, when the horse, you know, they were calling them horseless carriages.
Right.
When the first engines came out. Right. And, you know, that created a whole thing where a lot of jobs were gone as well, you know, people who raise horses, you know, that's where that went away, you know.
Exactly.
And then Henry Ford came in and created, you know, destroyed the country by putting in the 40-hour work week and the 1-hour lunch, you know, what we all think is actually normal now. It's was created just for productivity. You know, you're working to create someone else's vision, which, you know, we could say that was good, that was bad, whatever it is, it's going to happen anyway. So it doesn't matter what emotional effects we, you know, what affects us emotionally is not really relevant because we know it's going to happen. You know, the email thing, letters went, buying stamps went, right? The post office is a ghost town. Usually one person, maybe two people in the post office. And they're always like at the end, before you check out, they're like, you want to get some stamps, please?
That's exactly how the postal guy sounds in my
postal. Want to get some stamps, anything, a money order? I'm like, a money order? You still make money orders? Yeah, you can pay things. You pay me the money. I'll give you a piece of paper. You give it to. Couldn't I just do that with a check? Shut up. You know.
But it,
I
know, right, exactly. But my the whole point of my thing was that technology, through all those years, there's still a control aspect of it because, again, it's making our lives easier. It's helping productivity. Now we get into the point where it will probably start to get out of control, where we don't know where it's going.
It's,
I mean, we're
not in control for about 10 years.
Yeah, but, no, I get that. But what
it's
I'm saying
is that it's hitting the mainstream now.
It's hitting the mainstream. You know? I understand that. But what I'm saying is that, okay, but even with that, that's my problem with it because look at it as simple as this. Let's go back to the cell phones and social media. Okay. That in and of itself right there is out of control, right? Because the generation that is being raised are no longer thinking for themselves.
Right.
Okay. Now they are glued and their mind now is that, okay. So already they've lost control. If you take that away, oh my God, it's like you're on a drug. So right there, you've lost control. Now we're going to go into AI, right? Where AI is now going to start replacing all kinds of shit. Yeah. And, you know, who knows where in the next 50 years, the humans who are the useless eaters are they going to be doing now? They're going to be sitting on their couches and letting AI pretty much run everything?
Yeah, though that, trust me, it's one word. All of this is down to one word, money.
Of course, everything is
just
money.
About money, and money leads to power.
Right.
And control. You know, it's all the reason why social media and the reason why like Google, for instance, is an incredible, incredible company, huge. And how did they become so huge? Information. They just collected information.
Right.
Facebook, an amazing platform for marketing. Why? Because they collected information. So it's the we're in the information era, which we're sort of like now on the cusp of that, heading into an AI computer controlled world, where before it was like information that we that they got from us and then they would sell us things, right? You ever mentioned a pair of shoes or something, and then you see it. All that stuff is monitored and controlled very, very much. There's a Netflix special, a Netflix documentary that talks about the actual things that go on behind the scenes. Right. And, you know, it's pretty frightening, you know, that's the kind of control that they have over us.
Yeah.
You know, they want to sell stuff. Now, as somebody who also sells stuff, and I do have content as well, like music and films and all that stuff, you know, there's part of that that makes me think, well, okay, I mean, this might be beneficial to me as an artist, that I can get my art seen by more people.
Right.
You know, so that's also a benefit to some degree.
Yeah, but it's, again, we can go back down to the arguments, but is that really the case? Because if that's manipulated, you're not really getting it seen by more people necessarily. You know what I'm saying? It depends on what they want you
to see. Right. It depends on what you are putting out and what they're allowing.
And this is what this is the control aspect.
If you and I got together, George, and we wrote a documentary on the history of rubber bands, you know, just the history of the rubber band.
Right.
You
should do, by the way.
Yeah, the history of the rubber band and all the different types of stretchy rubber band things. And that's our documentary. We probably get social media be fine with it.
Of course.
No problem, you know. Now, if we did a documentary on the effects that a certain vitamin can have on a certain body condition to help it repair faster, well, because the narrative is what the narrative.
But it's not just that, though. It's not just, yeah, I mean, that is a big part of it, yes. But it's not just that. It's also what's trending. Okay.
But what is trending?
But that's the whole point. That's my whole point. Now they have software that people work with, right? A creator can work with that will tell them, this is what's trending right now. Right. This is what you need to capitalize right now. And if it's not rubber bands is going to be way down here.
Correct. But okay. My point on that is that the trending, if you look at what's trending, it's usually bubblegum things or a political narrative.
Well, yeah, compared to a health thing, absolutely.
Right.
100%.
So, but if you look at, like, let's just say X, if you go to X and you'll see the trending on there, they're mixed with political, there's mixed with, like, silly things. It's somebody's birthday, a celebrity's birthday, or whatever it is. And that's because it's an actual representation of what people are actually saying. Whereas in the past, if you go to trending, the trending was literally 20 things on one narrative against one, either an individual or a party or a thing. And it was towards one thing. And that's the way it was. I know that because I've been on the platform since 2009.
Right.
And I've seen that grow into that. So, but today it's a little bit, it's what actually people are writing about. And sometimes, you know, if it's something that we don't agree with, but that's what's trending, well, I'll take it because it seems more legitimate that's what people are talking about. Now, newspapers, news media, the whole news medium, they are also in charge of the trending. Because if they decide to all do stories on rubber band, well, you and I are on top of the world.
Of course.
Now, if they do all stories on rubber bands giving you cancer, you know, then we're in trouble.
Right.
They're controlling a lot more of this than we are. You
know, but that's, again, that goes back to my point, is the control of it. Okay. I want to have, and this is the way I think of things, I want to have control over what I do as much as possible. Okay. So if that means that, if I have 500,000 subscribers and I put a thing on rubber bands, really, how many of those subscribers are going to look at it? Probably 1,000, maybe 10, 20, you know, maybe 1,000, maybe 2,000 are going to see it out of my, but it looks good because I have 500,000 subscribers. I look great. Okay. But is that really providing me the value that I want versus, and I would argue that I could send out an email list of 500,000 people and get more sales on an email list than having 500,000 subscribers on any platform.
That's true. That is true.
So that's the control piece I have, you know, and we look at, we see the technology permeating in every industry, right? We talked about sports. We talked about baseball. The technology in baseball now is being used, right? You and I grew up, baseball was a very, you know, organic game, right?
It was just
right. Yeah. Now what's the technology has done to baseball? It's to me, in my view, who is a lover.
I don't even watch it anymore.
A lover of the game, okay, I am, and I played it for many years. Sometimes it's unwatchable because it's all about numbers. They don't care how many times you strike out. They don't care how many wins you have as a pitcher. None of that means anything now. It depends on what the book says, what the percentages is. Why? Because you get an advantage. It's the numbers that give you an advantage so you can get closer to winning, right? That's the thing. And now here's the thing, just on top of that, there's been talk already, and there's still talk about this, about having an electronic strike zone. So now what happens? You eliminate the umpire. So now why would you need an umpire there if you have an electronic strike zone? Or
you probably could be there for safe at home.
Not even that. You know why? Because if you watch tennis, you ever watch tennis, now you have a cyclops, right? Yeah. It tells you exactly where the ball is to the millimeter, okay? Yeah. You're not going to tell me if that guy slides in and you have a camera that looks at it, not going to tell you if that person's safe. Of course they are.
Of course they are, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So in 10 years, 20 years, baseball is not going to be recognizable.
Yeah, or like opinion. In Star Trek where it actually doesn't even exist anymore.
Exactly. People so like again, it's for the whole thing of technology is the control aspect. If we lose control of it in all these aspects, then we're in trouble because man has shown that if you give him technology that he can take advantage of, eventually he screws it up.
Oh yeah. Well, that's already happened, unfortunately.
Many times.
Many times throughout history and stuff, you know. So let's go into a few of these things that we would actually miss that I think we can look at a positivity. No, we could spin it. We could spin any of these things.
You could spin anything, really.
So like information access, right? So, you know, it's always nice. Sometimes I want to, you know, I'm talking to my kids and I want to, an artist comes up, you know, and I can't remember which artist was recently, but we were talking about an artist. Oh, it was Tom Jones. And I saw a clip of Tom Jones, and you know, he's 80, he's still performing, sounds fantastic. He's sounds fantastic, he's 80. And so I wanted to show my kids how he looked in the 60s, you know, and that he hung out with Elvis and stuff. So technology, you get that information, you can show the videos, you know, you have that.
Yep.
Certain information you can get. Now, of course, some of it, it's like the school textbooks. You know, the school textbooks have been made by one company.
Right.
They've all been manipulated to put a narrative in that, you know, the pilgrims and they landed here and the Indians welcomed them and they had a big turkey dinner. And that's the lies that they've been told, you know? Yeah. And if you go into like just more, if you go into history, looking also at a religious history as well, if you go into like the religious documentations of history, because religion has done one thing for the last couple of thousand years, is that they've at least documented some of what was happening during that time. So if you go back 200-300 years, I'm not talking about the Bible. I'm talking about the time periods of events that were going on during whatever period, there was written word. And within those written words, they threw in religion because that was the religion at the time. Now, of course, we got the Crusades, we got the Spanish Inquisition, we got all those things that went on during that time that was documented, right, you know, through religion. And you can go back and you can actually pinpoint where this actually occurred and realize that, yeah, this did occur. Now, it's not taught in schools because it's bad. It's sort of like our history as Americans. You know, we're not taught about what happened in the, you know, here in the country, you know, we're not taught about what happened 200 years ago, you know, in the 60s or in the Declaration of Independence and how that went about and the war after that and the Civil War, you know, because it's an ugly thing. So they're trying to erase that. So when you go on to like Google or you go on to something and you try to find some information, I don't know how, if you're not given information that they want you to have and not information that you really want, you know, like what I do is I have old dictionaries because they've changed definitions of words to support a certain narrative. Right. So you have to go to an old dictionary. You have to go to like, remember the Britannica encyclopedia?
Encyclopedia, yeah.
Yeah. So if you go to if you're lucky enough to have an encyclopedia from like 60 years ago, it's gold because in there they have stuff that was just what occurred because they didn't know it during that time. There was a lot of other evil people that were not involved. I don't want to say the name.
Yeah, but there was always a narrative, always.
There was always a narrative, yes, but you get more of what actually occurred in a more harsh tone. Right. See, right now everything has to be soft because everyone is so sensitive. So you can't talk about certain things that occurred unless it's, you know, saying how bad America is or how bad it was or how bad they're being treated. You know, you don't talk about the whole picture.
Yes.
On some of these old encyclopedias, I've seen them because we have them at the church. Right. And you go in and you'll see, geez, they wrote that? Like, holy cow. And there's pictures? Oh, my God. Yeah, it's really, really, like, in your face.
Right.
Because they're like, oh, that's the encyclopedia. That's the news. That was actually what occurred, or at least that's what they thought occurred at that moment.
Yeah.
Now, that might have been manipulated 100 years earlier or whatever. You know, I mean, it's just man, you know, using the present situation to his advantage and changing whatever he has to change. I mean, Thomas Jefferson had his own newspaper. John Adams had his own newspaper. And they would write and sell out news. They would sell their newspapers bashing each other.
Right.
Now, they both signed the Declaration of Independence and they were both presidents. But my point is that they were still battling each other, even though they respected each other to some degree. They what did they do? Oh, well, we have a newspaper. Oh, the printing press? Yeah. Let's buy our own printing press and then print whatever we want. Right. Well, what? You telling me that that's not happening today? You telling me that all these platforms aren't just doing the same exact thing?
Of course.
They own all the media? I mean, of course they are.
Of course they are. Yes. They are.
Now it's just a different form.
It's a different form.
People said, like, people are watching Fox or watching CNN as if they're two different things. Right. It's the same thing, folks. You're being, you know, bamboozled. So that's the information. If technology went away, I ain't going to miss that shit.
But you're right. It's just at a bigger scale because there's more avenues now than there has ever been before, right? Back 100, 200 years ago, there was the newspaper. There was the guy who would come and yell whatever it is, and he would stand.
He would stand,
and people would come around. There was, what was that movie with Tom Hanks? I forgot what it was, where he was the guy that would actually go to a town and then talk about the stories of what was going on.
Yeah,
I forgot the name of that one.
I forgot the name of it too. Yeah,
but
come and get it, George Batista caught in a triangle.
But I again, you know, but like I and going back to that again, you know, there's always, like I always said, that there was always a narrative even back then. I still argue to this day that we still don't know 100% of everything because there's always things that have been
unless covered. You were there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And because you yourself documented
even the sacred scrolls and the sacred scriptures of whatever books you want to talk about have been rewritten through the years.
Correct. Okay? Correct.
So and some stuff has been taken out, some stuff has been included.
You know, there was a time when we had two popes.
That's right.
We had the Pope in France and we had the Pope in the Vatican because they were like, nah, we don't want to do it that way. All right. Well, we're getting our own Pope. You can't do that. What? Watch us. And then they got their own Pope. I was like, all right. Now they have the two Popes, you know, and I think that was part of the, at the time, using religion, unfortunately, to control the masses. You know, matter of fact, well, we can go into that too, but you know, if you go back into, to the Catholic religion, like Catholicism overall had reincarnation in it. If you can go back and you can see that was part of the whole thing.
Right.
That's why, Jesus came back, it was 3 days and he came back. You know what I mean? That was part of the whole thing. But it's really difficult to control society if they know that they're coming back.
Right.
But if they think they're going to burn down under, not in Australia, but they're going to burn in hell, then they're a little bit more likely to be like more better, and if there's certain rules, thou shalt not, then I think it's easier to then control. So who knows what happened? I'm not saying that
right.
isn't part of like the truth or the fact. I'm saying the Ten Commandments. Yeah, I agree with them. I mean, well, how can you not agree with those?
Yeah, but there was 15. Remember, he dropped them.
That's right. He dropped them. Damn it, Mel. Butterfingers. So I mean, information, I think access to a vast amount of information that's at your fingertips,
right.
that would vanish.
Right.
Correct. Now, is that a bad thing? Well, I don't know. It would be a different thing. Okay. That's all I can say.
Good
on
questions
that.
To ask, though.
Yeah. Convenience is the next one. Many daily tasks would become more time consuming without technology, from cooking to transportation to banking. Cooking?
Well, no.
The only reason I had cooking down was because recipes that you can get, the stove is electric now in some places, but really it's really fire and gas.
Fire. It would be maybe a little faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I mean,
electric stoves are just a way to trap people.
Grandmother used a hot plate.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, fire is the king. You know, when you have an electric stove, and they're pushing electric stoves now. Why? Because you can shut off an electric stove.
Correct.
You can't shut off gas.
Correct.
You know, and so you can still eat. But then if you don't pay your bill, they'll cut it off. Same thing with the electric car. They can, via wherever they're sitting, Elon Musk goes, and he just shuts off your car. You know, it's attached to his butt. So for me, it's like electricity used that way is not good. So cooking, you still have fire, you can cook.
Yeah.
Transportation, we got around. I had a bike. I got around. And you know what? I was healthier. I think I actually attribute a lot of my cardio today, like my ability, to the fact that I was riding for like 12, 13, 15 years, my bike all over the Bronx and stuff. Even in Manhattan, when I moved to Manhattan, I was riding all through Manhattan as well.
Right.
So that would be a better thing. And then banking, you'd have to kind of put your money under the mattress, or you'd have to have gold or whatever the actual, whatever the value of whatever we as a, because that's all money. Money is just an agreement, right?
Correct.
Money is an agreement that everyone made that this money is worth this thing.
Right.
And that with this, I can buy this. Now, today. In 10 years, I can't buy this.
You can't buy it, right. Correct.
This is going to cost more. I need more of that stuff, right? And it just continues to go. And everyone made an agreement that this is the way it is. I go into an office, I go to work, I punch in. And then at the end of that week, somebody decides to pay me something. That's the money thing, right?
Yep.
So whatever, when technology goes away, whatever is actually going to be in place as currency, then that would be what we have to get used to. It can be an energy. It can be
a bartering before
a
that.
Bartering system.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a lot of different ways that you can do, with the money. But those things will become a little bit just less convenient.
Yes,
that's what they will become. Entertainment is a big one. So streaming services, video games, and social media. Entertainment options would be limited to what's available, right? So entertainment then would become the local playhouse where you go see a play. The local juggler is performing. Races, hitting a rock with a stick. It's going to be fine. Come on, guys. Get the rocks. Listen, George and I used to play wiffle ball.
Wiffle ball.
Religiously.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a wiffle ball league now. I don't know if you know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a big one? Like a huge one?
Yeah. It's like they have parks. Wow. And they have actual
rules.
And yeah, it's really interesting. But we would play wiffle ball and we would play for hours. And then you know what we also did for hours? Sit and talk. We played music a lot as well. Yes. But we would also just sit, talk, make stupid jokes. Mm-hmm. And we did watch some TV. So we watched, you know, a lot of shows that we talked about last week and shows that we liked. But you'd have to then find ways to entertain. So, you know, it was interesting. I saw a clip of, they had this clip of kids. It was like high school, junior high school kids in like 1991. Sometimes they'll have a footage of that. And they're all just sitting around talking because there's nothing in their hands. Not one person had anything in their hands because what are they going to have? They literally had bags and they were all just sitting talking. They were looking at each other, laughing. And they're just looking around, looking at the camera going, you know, doing, that was it. You know, and today go to a junior high school after school. You know, and put a camera on them. What are you going to see? They're going to see everyone like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
maybe we would read.
Maybe reading will come back.
Reading. I mean, you and I used to read the magazines. How many magazines, weightlifting and muscle and fitness and all
and
these
music,
magazines?
I would get
and music magazines.
Yes. Magazines. I would get
Modern Drummer. I used to read
Drummer.
Modern Drummer. It was like my thing.
I
couldn't wait. You and I used to go to the store. I would pick up my, you know, the new edition.
And sometimes
you
go there and it's not there and you're like, oh man, it's not there. Like, oh, it hasn't come in yet. I'm like, oh damn. And it's like, you're just so looking forward to like that, you know, and then you see it and it's like a new toy every month. You know, I subscribe now to Guitar Magazine, but Guitar Player.
Yeah.
But it's online. And they do have a digital hard copy as well.
Nice.
But that'll come back again. You know, magazines will come back again. You know, newspapers and, you know, things like that will come back again. Letter writing will come back again. Mm-hmm. The post office will be so happy. They'd be like, we're selling stamps again, mister.
You know, I think about it. When I was in high school, the letters that used to go back and forth between the kids and the girls, the guy would, you know, ask them to the prom. I mean, I remember writing a letter to this girl asking her to the prom. I mean, all those things that.
Crazy, right?
Wow.
I mean, I remember also reading letters, you know, to Titi Lula.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she would get letters in the mail and, you know, she was one of those, incredible women in our, she was our great aunt who, never read.
Yeah.
She was born and went right to work with her mother and she worked her whole life basically and just never got around to reading.
Right.
So we would all read her letters and stuff like that. And my grandmother would go there. My grandmother did go to like the third grade.
Yeah, just my grandfather too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she learned how to read and stuff like that. And, you know, she would go and she'd read these letters from like our relatives in Puerto Rico. And then they would write a love letter and mail it in and send it out. And you'd have to wait. Then you get a phone call and my grandmother would yell in the phone thinking that because it's from Puerto Rico, you got to yell.
Yeah.
My grandfather used to be like, in Spanish, of course, he would be like, just hang up and open a window. No, hear you. Sí, Aroleta. No, aquí con Tito y con... It's hilarious, you know, but
it's great.
But it was just such a different, and, you know, people say, oh, it was such an innocent time, but it was innocent.
It was.
It was. Yes. You know, it just absolutely was. I mean, sure, there were things going on that were crazy, you know, but I feel now that there's just so much more possibility for bad entertainment. Right. To get into our kids, you know, yes. to be able to see, you know, to infiltrate the platforms.
Correct.
You know, and it's and YouTube, you know, sometimes like my son will be watching a YouTube video and I hear a commercial or something and I'm like, what the hell is that? It's like some commercial for some really bad thing. And then I have to go in and, you know, you can set it, you can get the settings and you can do all that stuff, you know, but it's like, how did that slip through? You know, and some of these YouTubers, you know, and they're following these YouTubers that have all these followers and they're like playing video games on and people are watching them playing video games.
Yep.
And there's and, you know, they'll say bad words or they'll mm-hmm. say sexual innuendos. You know what I mean? And the kids are like don't really know what that is, but they're curious and they're gonna want to find out. So there's a lot more opportunities for garbage to seep in, you know, to our children, and that part of it is sad, you know. Work opportunities. So most jobs require some level of technology use today. Giving it up could limit your career options significantly. Well, again, you would find your if technology just went away tomorrow, there'd be a problem, right? If we never had it, then we wouldn't know.
We wouldn't know, right? Exactly.
Know any different, right? So we're looking at it right now as if it just went away,
right?
Right. So like a lot of jobs would also go away. Like True. My job would go away. Yes. I'd have to go physically somewhere. Well, actually, it probably wouldn't go away. I'd just have to go there. I'm in Nashville and I work here. So, but I would have to go there to do the job, you know. But I'm a media and technology manager. So the technology part would be like, you know, I'd be like, okay, John, you're in charge of sharpening the pencils. You know, and that's going to be my new gig, you know. Right. And because what else, you know. The technology is like the media part. What am I going to do? I can't edit videos. I can't, you know, all that stuff is going to go away.
And you're absolutely correct. It would actually be interesting. Why? Because for young people, it would be a huge crush. For the older people.
Yeah, for you and me, it would be fine.
It would be fine. Now, and even older than that, because there's always a segment of the population. Let's say, you know, the older guys who were always worked with their hands, construction, maybe they never really needed the technology, right? Now, right? So if you look at it now with technology, a lot of those guys, even just to apply for a job, even just to do the paperwork for a job, they have to go on a computer and they have to do it. A lot of those people don't know how to do that.
They don't know.
They have to get friends or family or their wives or whatever to help them do that, right? So if you take that away now, and there are people they won't hire.
Right.
Because they can't even pass, let's say, the test, or they can't pass whatever, you know. I used to do orientations. Part of the orientation was the technology piece. Yeah. If you couldn't pass that technology piece, you couldn't work. Okay.
Right.
So now those people would actually have more of a chance at, because now everything again would be more brick and mortar, would be more manual, where you would have to literally sign a piece of paper, fill out a piece of paper. They don't have to worry about the technology.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting how the tables would turn on some of that.
Yeah, and you know who would actually be fine?
Who's that?
Who would be completely fine would be tradespeople.
Oh, 100%.
Plumbers.
You're always going to need plumbers. You always have to have plumbers, mechanics, right?
HVAC people. They'll be totally fine because those are the kind of jobs that, and funny enough, the ones that are getting paid the big bucks in Silicon Valley, they're the ones that are going to be out of luck. And I don't know what they would do, because if your whole job, like we're at a perfect age. We've said this before in the past. We grew up without it, and then it hit us at a pretty good age where we can still duplicate it. Right. And we were always creative people and what we're interested in, like doing stuff.
Right.
So hold we're there. It. Yeah.
You need something? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
So we're always in a position where we can, you know, add what we've learned in the past to the technology, and we were always creative people. So we're in a perfect position. We can use technology of today.
Yeah.
But if it goes away, we have all that experience of yesterday. Exactly. I know how to work in an office. I know how to file. Right. I know the alphabet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the hardest thing will be remembering phone numbers. Like I don't know your phone number.
That's right. That's true. Right? You just click the person's name or whatever.
I know my wife's phone number.
Yeah.
I know the phone number to some friends in maybe three phone numbers in all.
It isn't. That is interesting, right? That you don't really. Who knows anybody's phone number?
No. You don't have that. Yeah, you don't. So, healthcare advantages. You'd lose access to modern healthcare technologies. I'm going to say no to that. I'm going to say that the benefit that you would get would be from those that are in your environment now that are practicing good health and that know a little bit about actual nutrition. not health, because they're looking at it. Healthcare is not nutrition.
Correct.
You know, healthcare is getting a person on some kind of regimen,
right,
to maintain them,
right,
to have them as products, you know, have them as consumers, right, and keep them coming back as consumers, right. That's how they're looking at it. Healthcare. I'm looking at, you know, wellness, right. I'm looking at actual physical feeling good, actually cures. I'm looking at actually a cure, you know, that kind of stuff. That, I think, is always going to be to the individual.
Correct.
The individual is always going to have to rise to the occasion, which shocks me now that there's so much stuff out there letting you know what's killing you. And there are people out there buying what's killing you.
Yeah.
It boggles my mind. Whatever. It's something, some agreement that people made that they just don't think it's them. They think it's out there.
You're 100% right.
They don't think it's them. That's crazy, right? I know. I really, really shouldn't be eating that, but man, it tastes so good, man. It's crazy. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, no. Why are you so light about it?
Yeah, no. Part of that is it goes back to what they've been fed mentally, and part of that is what they've been fed physically to feed the addiction, right? So, and then
because it is an addiction.
Yeah,
it is an addiction, and they're, you know, I can't tell you. I mean, being a filmmaker and musician, and you're around people on set eating things that, like, and I always knew that I would, you know, I was still aware. So like if you go to a film and they don't have any big craft services, so if it's like, let's say, a low budget film and I'm an actor and I go there, right? Pizza. You're going to get coffee and bagels for breakfast. You're going to get pizza for lunch. And if you're there for a later night, you might get a sandwich.
Yeah.
And it's very cheap, and that's how they do it. But I always was fully aware. I would bring nuts. I would bring power, you know, some kind of protein bars, mm-hmm, and a lot of water.
Right.
And I'd be fine. And you can see the sluggishness going. They eat that bagel with cream cheese and the coffee. And by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, everybody is dragging their asses and their feet. They can't produce, you know.
Very true.
So it's like, you know.
Just one thing I want to add to the, on the other side of the coin, for the health technology piece, one thing you would lose is the stuff that I actually would agree with, which would be the advances in the hospitals. Because there are a lot of good advances as far as surgical, as far as emergency, that are all computer driven.
I mean, overall, you're right. There are some, we're looking at,
we're still
a different side.
Right. But we're still, if you look at it, we're still the best emergency medicine in the world.
Right.
Okay. And part of that is because of the advances that we have made on that side of things. Again, emergency surgery and emergency care, you know, using those computers and those systems and how they do things and stuff.
And now
correct.
They don't have to necessarily do surgery now. They just have like,
if they're going to fix your heart, they go through your leg and this little thing goes in there and it puts a stent in there and it fixes it.
Yeah.
They don't do open heart surgery much anymore now, unless they have to.
And so, eventually it would just be remote.
So some of those things will be lost in that. So that's,
That is bad. That is bad. Yeah. Transportation efficiency. I think we talked a little bit about that already. Travel would become much slower and difficult without cars, airplanes, or public transportation systems.
Right.
You know, we're looking at a time when you were born in a town and you died in that town.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it was like. You know, and in that town, you hope, or at least the town over, that you meet a nice girl that you can marry and have some children and settle down, and you know, and that would be your hope. Safety and security. Technology plays a crucial role in security systems, from home alarms to online banking protections.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to figure out how you're going to get whatever the currency becomes. That has to be protected, because we're always going to have crooks.
That's right.
There are always going to be people out there, high-level crooks. We're talking about white-collar crooks, blue-collar crooks, black-collar, black market. They're all crooks. equal across the board. Some of them maybe have a little bit of more IQ than others, right, if you want to even say that, but they're all crooks, right? So you have to protect your money. So that's one thing that definitely has to be done. Your home alarms, you know, we still have guns. That's how people protected their homes for thousands of years, you know. People protect them with weapons.
Yes.
You protect your property with weapons. That's why the Second Amendment was written. Environmental monitoring. Without technology, it would be much harder to monitor and address environmental issues like pollution and climate change.
Well, I mean, just so simple weather.
Climate change would be gone.
But just simple, you're right. But simple climate. Weather. How would you know what the weather is?
Yeah, it's open and you have to go outside.
You know, how do you know? How do you know if there's a hurricane coming?
You don't.
Right.
You don't. I mean, look at things like, I mean, there's a lot of things in history. Like if you look at Pompeii, there's no way that we can know that a volcano is going to erupt. But there are things that they have now that they can actually kind of tell, like, this seems like it's building up pressure.
Right.
We need to chill out. So there are some technologies in that, you know.
But even animals know when things are coming.
Yeah, yeah. If you are in your house and your cat, dog, and goat start going bananas, if your parrot is like, get out, get the fuck out, then you better pay attention. You better get the hell out of there because you are screwed. Because that's the one thing that animals have an instinct that they know that when something is coming. Matter of fact, the big giant, the tsunami that in Japan,
yeah,
you know, it was like miles and miles an earthquake in the ocean.
Yeah,
like nobody knew anything because it was like miles away. Yeah. And the animals are running all over the place. So people were leaving the town already because they saw the animals freaking out. You know what I mean?
Do you get tornadoes over there?
F this, I'm out of here, huh?
Do you get tornadoes over there in Tennessee?
Yeah, tornadoes, yeah.
Like near you?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, big tornadoes here, yeah. And they do come, and you have to be careful, and you have to know where to go, and you have to take it seriously.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have to. Like, one came in, I think the year 2020, believe it or not, it was a rough year, but it came through before we moved here, and it took out a whole school. Like, there were no kids. It was, like, on a Sunday, thank God.
Wow.
Took out the whole school. I mean, leveled it. I've driven by this place. Jeez. It was leveled. A brick school, not like a wooden house.
That's insane.
Brick, man. Leveled, you know. And so, yeah, we get tornadoes and stuff like that, you know. So it's scary, you know, that can, and you have to know places to go. You know, right. We have places, you know, to go and stuff. So, environmental. So personal connections. We've gone way over an hour now.
Yeah.
It's all good. Personal connections. This is the last one. While technology can sometimes distract from face-to-face interactions, it also enables connections with people who are far away, and we already spoke about this, and have similar interests. That's something that's actually, I enjoy connecting with like-minded people on social media and all these platforms. And so if you go to my, I don't have a lot of crap on my social media because I don't follow it.
Right.
And if somebody comes up and they post something that I think it's a little bit like, ugh, I'm like, dude, you get the hell. Get the hell away from my face, you freak.
I tell you, you should be in jail or something.
Yeah, like anything that's like just not. I don't even like to see crime. Sometimes people will post a crime.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, I don't want to see a crime unless it says that, you know, the guy got caught. You know what I mean? It's like this criminal didn't know what to expect or he got caught or whatever, you know, but I don't want to see that either. You know what I mean? It's all like stuff that's just degraded. And so I get rid of that stuff. So if you go to my social media, all you see is like, you know, music, Star Trek, film quotes and film, you know, sections of films, and funny memes and comedy and stand-up comics. Those are the only things that you'll see on my social media, you know. And that's it. So that's the last one on this one. So
it's
the verdict is out. Without social media or without technology, we would have a different life. Would it be better? Probably in the long run, it will be better. In the short run, it'll be chaos. Right. Because there'll be people that would be, first of all, they will have no money and no access to money. So they'll start you know, people get crazy during that time.
Yeah.
And it becomes dangerous. People start stealing and killing to try to, you know, justify their, you know, taking care of their family, and they'll do something horrible. So I think in the short term, I think it'll be bad if technology went away tomorrow. In the long term, I think it would be a blessing, and I think we would be an amazing society that will be able to connect on a smaller level, you know, yep. where you can actually create communities and the way it was back in the old days, you know.
Yeah.
I would probably go into preaching, you know, that's what I would do. You would go definitely into health and wellness.
Yep.
You become like a shaman for the local place, you know what I mean? Yeah, and I'd become speaker or a minister, you know, of some sort, you know, a minister that curses. But it'd be a different time for my ministry. My ministry,
like, where's John? Oh, he's down there. No, okay, gotta raise him up. Everybody's taller than you.
My ministry would be a little bit. No, I have a high thing. You think?
Oh, that's true. We'll
put you up. My pulpit is gonna be like.
I can see you try to go
I'm
up.
Be looking there. Down. Be like, all you idiots, listen to me clearly.
You know what you could do? Like the Wizard of Oz, have the big thing, and then when they expose you, you come.
Pay no attention to the short Puerto Rican behind the curtain. You would be like, I'm sorry. I lied to you. All right. I am so exhausted.
Good stuff.
Much, but I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good now. All right, folks. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate y'all very much. We will be back next week. We have a guest next week. We'll have actually Mr. Tommy Burke will be with us, and he wrote this book. He spent 30 years in the industry, film industry, and he is a wealth of information, and we're excited to have him on. He's going to be on next week, so please don't miss it. It's going to be awesome. And also, don't forget my new venture, which is going to be coming up soon. And in this, I'm going to be interviewing it's going to be mainly a lot of film stuff and a lot of I'll even talk about nutrition and have you on, you know, and cool. We'll do a thing because like I think
the old days,
yeah, because it does tie in to film.
Yeah.
I was just talking about it right now, you
That's
know,
right.
craft services and right. eating it. I don't, you know, it does tie into all that. You have to be mentally aware in order to work in this industry, in any industry, you know, you have to be mentally aware. Nutrition is a big part of it. So, all right. Well, I want to thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate it. We'll see you all next week, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, theartistblueprint.live to check us out. And we'll see you then. Thank you, George. Take care.
Thank you, sir.
And as always, peace.
Peace.